After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them,
"Whom are you looking for?"
And they answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied,
"I am he."
Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them,
"Whom are you looking for?"
And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered,
"I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go."
This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter,
"Put your sword back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?"
So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First, they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people.
Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter,
"You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?"
He said,
"I am not."
Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it, warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself.
Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teachings. Jesus answered,
"I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said."
When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying,
"Is that how you answer the high priest?"
Jesus answered,
"If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?"
Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest.
Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him,
"You are not also one of his disciples, are you?"
He denied it and said,
"I am not."
One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked,
"Did I not see you in the garden with him?"
Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment the cock crowed.
"Whom are you looking for? What do you want to find in the garden? What is it you're expecting to see here tonight? Are you looking for someone to finally stand up to these soldiers? Did you hope to catch a glimpse of the one who had rode victoriously into this city? Did you want to see just what this one who flipped temple tables would do to the one who betrayed him? Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to see Jesus the Messiah? Did you want to see Jesus the Son of God? From where I'm standing, it looks like he's not here tonight. Instead, what we're left with is this Jesus of Nazareth. Seems like Philip was right to question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, this Jesus won't even stand up for himself. Worse, he tells Peter off for trying to retaliate in the slightest. How do you expect to prove his station, huh? How does he expect to prove God's station if he can't even take on a few soldiers? Seems like when push comes to shove, the Jesus that we'd all hoped for has gone AWOL. In the end, not even Peter wants to be affiliated with him anymore. I can't say that I blame him. John writes that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not overcome it. But maybe that light needs to shine just a little bit brighter. Because when they came with lanterns and torches and weapons, the shadows that they cast were longer reaching than any of us had imagined. Where is the Messiah we're looking for?
Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters, so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said,
"What accusations do you bring against this man?"
They answered,
"If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you."
Pilate said to them,
"Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law."
The Jews replied,
"We're not permitted to put anyone to death."
This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die.
Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus answered,
"Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?"
Pilate replied,
"I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?"
Jesus answered,
"My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here."
Pilate asked him,
"So you are a king?"
Jesus answered,
"You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice."
Pilate asked him,
"What is truth?"
What is truth? What is truth? The truth is that this whole showcase of a trial is a complete sham. The truth is that they're getting Pilate to do their dirty work for them. See, they know. They know what's going on here. They know that they have no case to make. They know that they're not allowed to put Jesus to death. They know they can't do it. But Pilate could. One word is all it takes. Let Jesus indict himself. If he turns out to be a self-proclaimed king, then by the emperor's law, he needs to be put down. There can be only one king, one ruler. But the truth, it turns out, that this is not Jesus' kingdom. "You'd know it if it was," he says. This whole charade would be put to an end if this was the kingdom Jesus came from. Can't you see, Pilate? The truth is that you're being played. The priest, the elders, the ones who are whispering in your ear, they're using you. They know the threat that this Jesus and his kingdom pose to their own positions of authority. They know that what he says holds more water than they're willing to reckon. But rather than fall in line, rather than give up their privilege and power, they'd see to it that this kingdom is snuffed out before it even arrives. They're quite fine with their current situation, thank you very much. They'd much prefer their reality than the one that this apparent Messiah talks about. So what is truth? Don't you get it? The truth is standing right in front of you. The one who is transfigured in a divine display of station. The one who healed and cast out demons and fed the masses and raised the dead. The one who was declared from on high as God's son, with whom God was well pleased. This is the one standing before you now. He is the truth. So what are you going to do with him?
After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them,
"I find no case against this man, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?"
They shouted in reply,
"Not this man, but Barabbas."
Now Barabbas was a bandit.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him and saying,
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them,
"Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him."
So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them,
"Here is the man."
When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Pilate said to them,
"Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him."
The Jews answered him,
"We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God."
Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus,
"Where are you from?"
But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him,
"Do you refuse to talk to me? Do you not know I have the power to release you and the power to crucify you?"
Jesus answered him,
"You would have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin."
From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out,
"If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor."
When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews,
"Here is your king."
They cried out,
"Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!"
Pilate asked them,
"Shall I crucify your king?"
The chief priests answered,
"We have no king but the emperor."
Then he handed him over to be crucified.
"Shall I crucify your king?" You can almost hear the incredulity in Pilate's voice, can't you? Because from what Pilate has seen and heard, he can't find any case against Jesus. What's more is that this whole thing is made that much more ridiculous by the offer Pilate makes every year. True to his word, he offered to release for them this apparent king of theirs. He offers to release him back to the people, the very same people whom he healed and cured and trusted and loved. He offers to give Jesus back to them. But they instead choose Barabbas. They demand the release of a bandit over the release of their Savior. Even so, the crowd is out for blood. Mere captivity isn't enough for them. Holding this so-called Son of God, this king in captivity, wasn't going to cut it. Flogging and mocking aren't going to cut it. The people want more. They need more. We need more. Away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. Can you pick your own voice out from among the crowd? Can you hear the words that are coming off of our own mouths? Whatever grounding we stood on as this Messiah was on the move, the words on our lips now tell a different story. Our denial now joins that of Peter's. We have no king but the emperor, after all he's done, even after all that he has given to the weakest, to the lowest, to the outcast, even after all he has worked to welcome those who are at the edges of our own vision, even after such a radical vision of God's inclusion, this is what we return? We cry out, "Away with him." Such a display doesn't match our own sensibilities of what we think God's kingdom ought to be. There's only one verdict that we cry out. Crucify him. Crucify him.
So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to the place, to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests and the Jews said to Pilate,
"Do not write the King of the Jews, but this man said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'"
Pilate answered,
"What I have written, I have written."
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another,
"Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it."
This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots."
And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother,
"Woman, here is your son."
And he said then to the disciple,
"Here is your mother."
And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home.
After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture,
"I am thirsty."
A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said,
"It is finished."
Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came out and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified so that you may also believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled: "None of his bones shall be broken." And again, another passage of the scripture says, "They will look on to the one whom they have speared."
No more questions. What's done is done. Nothing's left to ask. All there is to answer for what's been done. It's ironic, though, isn't it? I mean, really, the first answer of this evening hits the nail right on the head. Pilate's inscription says it all. "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Turns out this was the answer we needed all along. This was the clarity we wanted to be told from the very beginning. Such a simple answer, really. We just kept missing it. Even now, look at how we respond. Sitting around the feet of this God-forsaken throne, the soldiers are enjoying the spoils of their sacking of this king. See how they're divvying up his possessions? If only they would look up. They were to take a look at this king above them. They'd see him giving out one last decree from this throne on high. With one last instruction, the king cares for his people and offers to them a new bond of kinship with a final toast to seal the bond. With a drip of sour spirit soaked from the sponge, the work is done. With that, the king can bow his head. The thrust of a spear, the guard proves what we already know to be true. There's no denying it now. After all, it's been done. After all that it's occurred. After all that was accomplished. It's only here that the king can undeniably declare once and for all that it is finished. There's only one thing left to do.
After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it up with the spices and in linen cloth, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the Savior of the whole world. Come, let us worship. Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the Savior of the whole world.
Oh, come, let us worship.
Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the Savior of the whole world.
Oh, come, let us worship.
We glory in your cross, O Lord. We praise your holy resurrection. For by your cross, joy has come into the world. May God be merciful and bless us. May the light of God's grace shine upon us. Let your way be known upon the earth, your saving health among all nations. We glory in your cross, O Lord, and we praise your holy resurrection. For by your cross, joy has come into the world. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. May God give us blessing. And may all the ends of the earth stand in awe. We glory in your cross, O Lord. And we praise you for your holy resurrection. For by your cross, joy has come into the world. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. By your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.